boyfriends. It's Andy and Hedy coming to you live from Orange County, California on a late Sunday night.
Yes.
And what a difference a day makes.
What a difference a day makes. I don't even know the tune.
Yesterday was just so exhausting for you. You woke up in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
You drove to LA. Your dad ended up having to be taken to the hospital.
Yes.
So we're asking for prayers for Hedy's father, Mike. He just gets comfort.
And, yes, comes to salvation, sin faith.
That's the thing.
Most important.
I'll talk about my conversation with Pastor Jack a little bit later, but just we had that whole kind of hectic day.
Yes.
Of you just in the middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, driving out to LA and then getting him into the hospital, and then who could visit, who couldn't visit, and all this kind of stuff. They're only allowing two at Cedar Sinai. They're only allowing two visitors a day.
Yes.
And so then when your mom, his wife, wanted to come visit him, they said,
nope,
no,
too bad.
No,
too bad. Already had your visitors.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I have my little lower third there. That's so crazy. Like, what is wrong with this world right now?
It's all about the COVID stuff.
But why can't he's very sick.
Yes.
Right. Who knows each night whether he's going to make it through the night.
Yes.
And your mom could not be there to visit him.
No. And that's considering my father was on staff at the hospital for 30 years. Chief of staff for 10 of those years.
What?
Yes.
Oh, something is wrong with our world. Thank God for these devotionals. Thank God for Jesus.
Thank God for Jesus. He's on the throne.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Priscilla, nice to see you.
Hi, Priscilla.
Second time today we've seen you. Awesome.
We got to say, yes, though, the third service was pretty awesome, Priscilla. It was a great energy. Pastor Jack had said of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, he said there was so many babies and kids in the second service, it was more than the number of children in all three services combined.
Right.
So he made another plea for everybody to stop coming to second service and to come to the third or the fourth. So
yeah,
we took him up on that today.
We did. It is wrong. It's so strangely wrong. Like, you know that the nurse or, you know, the receptionist, whoever's making these decisions is a wife or has a mom.
And they're not
or has
the ones
dad.
Making the decisions.
Who's making these decisions?
The board.
But who says, hey, your wife cannot come and visit your husband?
It's just like the poor grocery store attendant that has to bother you about your mask. Oh. Like, if it was up to them, they wouldn't mention it because it's just more irritating than they need in their lives to be the mask police. Mm. But everyone's forced to comply to these Nazi-esque kind of rules.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the late night version of your message.
Well, I didn't have to direct that at a person. Yeah. It was the rules that I have a problem with.
So in contrast, so we couldn't get on yesterday, and that wasn't an excuse. I'm just telling you what was happening yesterday. So we weren't able to get on. But today, so it was so much. We ended up going to church at Friends Church, Yerba Linda, which was nice. But just being exhausted, we weren't sure. Either one of us, especially Hedy, how we could get through. I mean, you woke up at, like I said, one, drove.
Yes.
We're there all day and then went to church and we came home and we both kind of died. But we slept through the night.
Yes.
I didn't do any of my Shamu. Or did
no,
I?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't
no
do any Shamu. And we woke up like when we wanted to because Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, the second church that we go to.
Yes.
We were able to go later. And what an amazing day. That's what I'm saying. So it's such nice. A contrast between one day to the next.
Me and Andy, especially because of all the kids that we have, we do a lot of running. Like every time we wake up in the morning, it's like, on your mark, set, go. And it's just exhausting. It was really nice not to set an alarm today, I got to say.
So awesome. So again, I just really, we will could take any prayer that you have available to put your dad on the prayer list too.
Yes. Intercede. Ask him to come to Christ.
So again, we'll talk about some more stuff a little bit later on, but we're reading from Smith Wigglesworth devotional. That's where we're on right now. A great book. Get your copy so that you can join us and be there when we're not able to be on like yesterday. So today is October 24th. Complete Lacking Nothing is the title of this devotional. The reference is James 1:4. Let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Mm. Oh, patience.
Oh, patience.
The scripture reading is Psalm 91. And Smith says in this devotional, to be complete means that you are not moved by anything, that you are living only in the divine position of God. It means that you are not moved, that you are not changed by what people say. There is something about divine acquaintance that is instilled. It is worked within a person by the mighty God. It becomes like intuition. Accepting Christ as Savior builds the character of a person in purity until his inward heart is filled with divine love and has nothing but thoughts of God alone, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When I was in New Zealand, some people came to me and said, we would like to give you a Christmas present if you can tell us what you would like. I haven't a desire in the world, I said, says Smith. I cannot tell you anything I would like. I have no desire for anything except God. One day I was walking down the street with a millionaire. I was feeling wonderfully happy over the way the Lord was blessing in our meetings. As we walked together, I said, brother, I haven't a care in the world. I am as happy as a bird. Oh, he said, stop. Say it again. Say it again. And he stood still waiting for me to repeat it. Brother, I haven't a care in the world. I am as happy as a bird, he exclaimed. I would give all my money. I would give everything if I had everything I have to have that.
That's what the millionaire said.
Yeah, to be lacking nothing. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is moving us mightily to see that this is resurrection power. We were planted with him and we have been raised with him. We are from above. We do not belong to what is below. We reign in life by another. It is the life of God, God's Son, manifested in this human body. Thought for today, the new life of God is not just on the surface.
Yes.
Do you mind if I read Matthew 19?
No.
So we were at Yorba Linda Friends Church yesterday, and Chris Ward, who is the teaching pastor at Friends Church. It's so funny that he really went deep into this message, which is Matthew 19.
And Pastor Jack referenced it today too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. And I just want to read it to you because it's the opposite of what this millionaire wanted. Remembering that Smith Wigglesworth was in the late 1800s, right? Is that what we found out? Early 1900s?
Early 1900s.
So a millionaire is today's billionaire.
Right.
Easily, if not a trillionaire. I'm not sure. It's, I mean, a lot of money. And so in this is the, it's titled here, Jesus Counseled the Rich Young Ruler. So it's Matthew 16, or yeah, right?
Yeah. Matthew 19, verses 16.
Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man, again, who was wealthy, said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So
he couldn't give it up.
Yet this man in Smith Wigglesworth story, he said, I would give it up to have that. To have that, I don't have to worry.
And he says it, but would he actually?
I think he would.
Yeah.
Because I think he would.
Huh? Easier said than done for most.
I mean, it depends on the age. So the difference, what I wanted to bring up, and I hope that this makes sense, is that the young man who has wealth.
Not in a position.
Like I got the rest of my life. Later on.
I'm 80.
And it appears to me, I don't know this for sure, but the man in this story, just for whatever reason, seems like he might be a little bit older.
Yes.
And have had I've had the wealth and was able to party. I had the wealth and was able to drive the chariots I don't know what they had back then in New Zealand. It was probably horse and carriage, whatever it was, right. The nicest horse and carriage. And he had all these things, probably had more than one wife, I'm guessing. I don't know. Maybe the same wife. Who knows?
Or and a mistress. They weren't multiple wives then in New Zealand. It was a mistress.
Yeah. Mistresses. But I'm thinking at an older age, he's maybe going, you know what? It brings so much stress. It brings on so much. People always want from me or I always asking me for stuff. Like, I just, you know what? I've had it. Just take all my money. I just want salvation. I just want the love of God.
And happiness like a bird. Mm-hmm. And I love that Wigglesworth refers to it as a bird because that's the verses also in Matthew where the Lord says, do I not take care of the sparrows and provide them food? Why do you think I wouldn't take care of you?
Oh, wow. Look at you.
More so.
God, it's so great to be somebody that knows stuff. that has been such a blessing.
Oh, I thank you. I love the Bible.
You just know stuff. So I'm sorry. I mean, I jumped right on that because it just really reminded me of yesterday. And you reminded me that Jack talked about the day. But it's so funny how these seemingly unrelated places all bring a story together for us.
Well, that's what the Lord's trying to show us.
Yeah.
They're all his story.
All right. What's the most important thing that jumps out at you on this devotional? For you.
I am reminded actually of Ephesians 6 about standing and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And when you've done everything, you take up the full armor of God. And when you've done everything to stand, you just keep standing. Hmm. And so that's what all this discussion of patience and being filled with Christ and it's the process of just trusting God and standing. I find oftentimes I liken it to, I get this visualization of being in this torrent river, like whitewater river rafting, falling off the boat and just being like, I just need to stand my ground. And sometimes if you just could pass the storm and the current, you'll fall on still water again. Mm. You know, he'll put you back on dry land.
Right.
But it's about getting to that place where you could stand to the point where then you need nothing and you lack nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And every day that comes, you're living in the fullness of Christ and you died with him and your life is with him and there's nothing more you could want.
Hmm.
It's beautiful. I wish I was there. But
is it harder now because of everything that we have access to here in the United States,
mm-hmm.
maybe not in other countries, because of course, as Chris reminded us yesterday, Pastor Chris Ward said yesterday is that, you people sitting in here, you are the 1% of the world,
right? We are the rich,
the poorest person in that room. It was richer than 95% of the world.
Yes.
Is it harder
for us to
for us is it harder for today's American?
I think so.
Than maybe even back in those days.
I think we're greedier.
Yeah.
I think we're more demanding. Mm. Our expectations are higher. I try to find, and you hear me say it quite often, I am so grateful to the Lord for the blessings that we have because we have just amazing blessings that we know even friends and family don't have. And it's just, it's so important to be conscious of it because then you could see a lot more of God's miracles and you could see him working through you when you're not stressed out about things you cannot change and things that don't really matter in the end.
Mm.
And it's the greatest gift in the world. It's the greatest gift in the world.
So there's two sides of this inflation thing they're going through and the supply chain problems that we have and all this kind of stuff. Now, listen, I read what was said in the New York Times about you just need to lower your expectations. But there are things where we could do that. Like today we went to a restaurant and the one issue that they're having and they make there, it's an Italian restaurant and mm-hmm. they couldn't find any pizza boxes anywhere.
Yes.
And to them as a business, I mean, when you think about it on one level, you think, so what? Right. You think that you can't find some boxes? Like what, you can't use tissue or put them on there? But then you look at, there's a couple ways looking at it. Then you look at them as a business. They're trying to run a business.
Right.
And it's And then you not only can't find pizza boxes, but they were not also able to find cannolis. Again, you look at that. Well, you can't find a cannoli. You could be like Jen Psaki over there in the water and said, oh, you can't get a treadmill. Oh, you're angry because you can't get a treadmill. That's what she said. it was like the stupidest thing. It's not about that. When you look at a restaurant, it's not only can they not find the pizza boxes, but they can't find the desserts. Then they can't find.
Well, it's a compassion.
Then you're now this business.
That's
which the they rely on this for their living. It's not just about pizza boxes.
Right. To us, it's like, okay, serve it to us on a plate.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the issue. It's what does this man lose? Mm-hmm. What I mean, he's got 5 kids that work at that restaurant.
Yep.
They all depend on that revenue
to
eat.
It's a family restaurant.
Yeah.
Yep.
To live. And so if he can't make a dessert that he had 9 orders of ready to go the next day, then he doesn't make that money.
Yep.
Then his 5 children and their spouses and their children have a hard time eating. So I think it is important not to be focused on, oh, we're just spoiled, but realizing that we have an ecosystem built in this country of supply and demand, and we mm-hmm. depend on one another to come through, and we have to have compassion for those people that end up struggling, not us, the consumer that, you know, oh, we're going to get a pizza box in a color that we don't like.
Right.
Or that we're going to have to eat it out of a paper plate instead of a box. But that what is this doing to the country?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's really painful to think about, is that people have depend on our system to work a certain way. And if it doesn't work, that affects a lot of people's lives.
It's a domino effect.
Yeah, exactly.
He was sharing with us, the same business owner, restaurant owner, was sharing that he goes, can you believe that there's a McDonald's in the same parking lot? He says, do you believe the McDonald's went to Stater Brothers to get their lettuce?
Right.
Like, they're not even getting the delivery of a McDonald's is not getting a delivery of lettuce, that they have to go to the grocery store. I mean,
exactly.
And this is just the beginning. And again, you could be like Jen Psaki and say, oh, you couldn't get a treadmill. That was her big thing, her big statement. Like, so just calm down. You can't get a treadmill. No.
It's way beyond that.
What about the business owner who they depend on selling treadmills? This guy has children and they has employees. And like you said, he has rent to pay. And you don't sell the treadmills like you normally would be. The business fails.
Right.
And again, the domino effects begin to happen. One of the things that we started talking about a long time ago when we realized that they were paying people to stay home is that we had to understand that the lack of employees at the places we went to, not right. just restaurants, but it also businesses and cashiers and the things that just, again, it's not about being spoiled. It's about realizing that people are not at work, that the overall functionality of our community
and our society
is beginning to fail,
unravel, and that causes severe consequences.
So you can have the attitude of, but when you really begin to look at it, this is not going to end well.
No.
If this continues the way that it is.
But we have Jesus.
We do. And that's the great thing about the messages.
Yes.
Is that we can lack something, we can do without something. The thing we fall back on is that we have an amazing God.
Yes.
And then we are talking about us, you know, in our, you know, what's next for us?
Yes.
In our lives. And that brings us to the very same thing, that we have faith in God, that we have trust, that whatever it is, that is, no matter what happens, we still have God. So have faith.
Amen.
And he will provide and teach us to adjust and adapt. Although I do love my bed. I do love my air conditioning.
Are we going to lose our bed?
No, we're going to make sure we do. Hey, Valerie, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Valerie.
And yes, Priscilla, what you said.
Oh, boy.
Now, Priscilla said this, not me. She said stupid Democrats. But of course, I would never say something like that on a live stream.
Devotional.
On a devotional. Priscilla, how dare you? I call them Devilcrats. All right. That's my new name. There was one other thing that came out of this whole thing, and now I completely forgot. Priscilla threw me off.
Oh, blame it on Priscilla.
Gosh darn it. I can't remember. It'll come to me. So James 1:4. What does that say, Hedia?
But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Mm,
and I've heard many pastors say, don't pray for patience. Pray for patience and the Lord will send you a beating like you've never imagined. And I'm hesitant to pray for patience, but the virtue of patience is exactly that, that you, when you withstand the fire of a trial and stand your ground, then you're working towards that sense of completion, that you lack nothing. Mm-hmm. And lacking nothing does not mean you're rich and beautiful and you don't ever have to worry about anything. It is whoever you are in whatever state you are, you lack nothing.
I mean,
Wigglesworth wasn't a wealthy man. For him to say, I don't need anything, I'm as happy as a bird, is about his internal peace.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking this when he's talking about patience here, and I could be wrong, is that God doesn't always answer your prayers or give you answers to go left or go right immediately.
Absolutely.
You need to have the patience for him to respond.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes I think he's waiting to see what you're going to do. He goes, I'm testing you. Let me see what you do. Are you going to go left or right? Right's the devil, left's the God.
Yes.
Are you going to choose?
God's a gentleman. He won't force you to do anything. Yeah.
So that's where I see that patience, but I also am hearing the other side of that story. Romans 6:5.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And again, when we die to self, then we will enjoy the power and the spirit that comes with the resurrection, being reborn, remade, new man. It's way more than our heads can wrap around.
Kidding. Colossians 3:1-3.
If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For if you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And I love this expression. Pastor Mark Driscoll of Trinity Church says, he's like, when you are having difficulties, you look up, not across. You know, so you're not looking at the person that's in front of you. You're looking up to God for the answers. And that's what it is to have your life in God with Christ, is that you're looking to him, not to people.
Nice. Very good. Thank you for that. Romans 5:17.
For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And this is, Romans 5 in general is a beautiful chapter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is going through, explaining how sin permeated the earth and mankind through Adam and Eve. And so that's the one man's offense that he's referring to, is that all of us are suffering the destruction and death from Adam's failure. And he likens that to how much more powerful the grace and righteousness can abound for those of us that are in Christ. Because if you could believe that one man can cause all of this destruction, then you should by definition agree more so, or believe more so, in what's possible in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. I never even ventured into that idea.
I know, most of us don't really think of Adam and Eve much, you know? You're just kind of like, oh.
Well, I've heard a lot lately, not lately, but I think, you know, several months ago when I, you know, first, you know, actually was a Christian, not before.
Instead of reading the Bible?
Yeah. That they've referred to Adam as the first Jesus. And some things I was reading.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't go into whole details about it because I cannot remember everything I was being taught about at the time.
I've heard about Jesus being the second Adam, but I didn't hear about
it. Maybe that's what it was. Okay. You could be actually saying it more correctly than me. I mean, all that's shocking because normally I'm right about everything.
We have to look that one up, folks.
Yeah. You know what? You might be right now that I think about it. You are right, of course. This once you pray.
it's only because it's late.
You know what that whole conversation does remind me of, though? Jordan Peterson, which Jack played. Yes, Jack played a video. So we'll just go ahead and start talking about Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, today in his message, was awesome. A lot about circumcision, by the way. I've never heard the word circumcision said so many times in an hour than I did today, which I learned it's not just about circumcision of the hey, nanner, nanner. It's a circumcision of the heart and the soul and everything. It's a much different description or talk was what Jack had today. It was actually pretty amazing.
It was.
But that's not what I'm going to tell you about. It had to do with Jordan Peterson, who is a famous atheist, and he's been on so many of the podcasts and live casts and, you know, YouTube videos that I've watched. He's often interviewed by Ben Shapiro and Joe Rogan.
He's not like a Charlie Hitchens or whatever, right? He's more of a philosopher.
A philosopher.
Yeah.
And very smart man, but a very famous atheist. But this discussion that Jack aired today, a little snippet of an interview that he had, was that this atheist, this very smart man, was now thinking,
coming into contact with the reality.
The Holy Spirit was finally having a breakthrough with him. Folks, you want to describe it a little bit to it? So, because you're gonna do a much better job than I did, than I will.
Well, so he described it as basically, the principles of his belief is the difference between the objective and the narrative of people's value structure. Objective being things you can believe because they're objective facts. So science, other things that are provable. He says the narrative is the stuff that you believe for whatever reason, your upbringing, your culture, your experience. So whether it's God or witches or atheism or just plain morality, humanism, you come to that conclusion based on a subjective narrative. And so what he was describing was that because of, I guess what started him on this idea was listening to a lot of C.S. Lewis, who explains a lot of the historical fact about the existence of Jesus Christ. So once you marry or you think in totality the narrative of Jesus Christ with the objective facts of Jesus Christ, then you are forced to draw a conclusion about whether he is an objective fact. Mm-hmm. And he said that was earth shattering. And he started to cry because he says that the thought that Jesus Christ could objectively be proven as the Son of God, and thereby the ramifications of that objective truth, are far beyond anything he could grasp or put into words. And it just made him cry. And it was so moving because you saw the Holy Spirit just taking over him. And I mean, I've had a similar experience when I came to Christ, just realizing, oh my goodness, you are actually God. And once you come to that conclusion, there's a whole series of life-changing circumstances and transformation that occurs. And so I just loved it. I loved listening to him come to that realization. And I'm not surprised that C.S. Lewis has influenced him because he was also an atheist.
Right. What I loved is the obvious struggle that he had of this 58-year-old man living his entire life as an atheist, as far as I know, and teaching about atheism and speaking about how God cannot be real. I'm, you know, as an atheist all of his life now suddenly, and he's had some health issues from what I remember from some of the recent interviews that I've seen him on. And I'm wondering how much that played into it, that he was suddenly faced with, when you're an atheist and you're totally healthy and it seems like you can take
the world by the thorns or whatever that expression is,
by the toe. But now being stripped of that, and now his mortality being put before him, and now really wondering what's next in his life.
And I love the fact that Pastor Jack had encouraged us. He's like, if you haven't had everything, if you haven't had that kind of peeling away in life of everything that mattered to the point where it brought you to the foot of the cross, he's like, I encourage you to find that moment. And that's what he used Jordan as an example. He's like, you could see like everything that he put faith in being peeled away from him. and being at the foot of the cross.
It's just the battle that was going on in his face. Like,
and
it was on air. It wasn't like something he had in the shower. Like, that's
and the
where,
interviewer didn't even know what to say. I mean, like, it was way beyond anything the interviewer could even process. I don't know if the interviewer was a believer or not. I don't think
I've never
was.
Seen that guy before. I don't know who he is.
Right. And he was just like, what?
What is happening right now?
Yeah. He's like, what am I watching?
And I think it was awesome that God put it on video. That God picked that time. He said, I'm not going to do this when you're alone in your car. I'm not going to do this alone when you're, you know, at home by yourself in bed. I'm going to wait until you're being videotaped and share this moment that allowed it to happen today in a church of 3,000 people in the third service at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And you know what I love too, in addition to what was happening with Jordan Peterson, is that now Jack had probably watched that video before.
Yes.
He told his crew, make sure this video is available for my message. He'd watched it in first service, watched it in second service, and still in the third service, it brought him to tears. Did you see the tears in his eyes?
Yes.
I had tears in my eyes, but it's just that's it says something about how moving it is for a pastor to see that moment, that he clearly felt it and saw that this is a moment that God is working in an atheist life.
Yeah, and even when he was going through the explanation of the circumcision, he used these props, which Andy's a great, he loves visualizations. To me, they didn't do much for me, the visualizations. I understand the whole, the ramifications of the circumcision with the props, but the point of his message was, it's not the knife, the machete or the
sawzall.
That would bring you closer to Christ. And he made the analogy to a Shiite Muslim tasbih that they use at the anniversary of the death of the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad to call for repentance. Mm. And he's like, that thing is not going to bring you any closer to God.
Right.
The law won't keep you closer to God. You know, the circumcision doesn't.
The scalpel.
An axe. It doesn't matter what it is. There are no axe or works that you will do that will save you from God. The only thing that saves you is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm. And the great message about Pastor Chris Ward at Friends Church is that it's just not accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is an important part of it, but you have to also repent.
Yes. Repentance, the turning, absolutely.
The repentance is an important part that most people forget.
Yes.
And don't...
That's actually one of the main difference of most churches today, the mega churches and the prosperity preachers and the new apostolic reform movement is all about the things that Jesus can give you. And they kind of leave out the importance of turning and repenting.
Mm.
And that's what people have trouble with in those movements.
I just wanted to, just before we leave, we got 33 minutes here so far, and I tried to go between 30 and 45 minutes, but your discussion today, we were at a great tapas restaurant in Tustin. Oh, go fantastic. To, if you're in Orange County, go to, what's it called again? Something Truffles.
Bistro.
Truffles Bistro?
Yes.
Truffles Bistro. It's on Tustin Avenue.
Place.
You wouldn't, you'd miss it. It's next to the dollar store.
Yes.
And you would say, am I going to a restaurant next to the dollar store? Yes. Go there because it is fantastic. Such great food.
Yeah.
So good. Awesome. It was and the people were awesome. Actually, there were only two people there, the chef and the hostess. Oh my gosh. Valerie says, oh my gosh, I listened to a video about repenting this morning. Yeah, watch Chris Ward over at Friends Church, Yorba Linda, did a really good job at talking about this particular subject. Really, really good stuff. So important. And so Hedy and I left the restaurant and you began talking about some people that were sharing one of your articles, talking about the articles about the pastor of the church that you went to once you accepted Jesus Christ.
Yes, it was where I was baptized.
So just share that little bit about that pastor, about the just a little bit about why this article came out and what people were talking about.
Well, I wrote the article because of all the controversies about celebrity pastors. A little bit what I was talking about is that a lot of people feel that these megachurch pastors, some of them, are false teachers because they don't teach the full counsel of God, the full counsel of the gospel, which is you have to accept that you're a sinner. You have to accept there's nothing going to save you except God, and that every sinner has sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God, and that you accept him as your Lord, the Lord of your life, which means you must turn and repent. And that turning and repenting means you can sin no more. Mm-hmm. Just like the adulteress that the Lord said, go and sin no more. So even though we will continue to sin, we have to understand that it requires the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and a transformation. And we do good works because of that indwelling and because we get to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we do not see transformation in our life, there's some missing piece. So I wrote the article about how I can never regret having spent time in that church because they were like a training ground for me for learning the gospel. And what I struggled with, that what I brought up in the article, is that there's so many self-help gurus out there and so many new agey movements that talk about self-help that I kind of like the genre of people who put that in a Christian message, which is you could get better. You could be helped. Your problems could be solved with what? With Jesus. It brings you to the foot of the cross. The problem is people don't leave those kind of churches to learn the full counsel of God. A lot of them end up staying in churches like that, and it becomes this kind of cult of personality.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, a lot of people like me are leaving this church. And they're finding, a lot of them are finding themselves kind of lost as a result. And so one of the other ladies that has also left this church, and a number of the people that have left the church, were commenting on the article saying they know me and they know my heart, and they kind of agree with the principles.
Mm-hmm. And something about the men as pastors, that they may be doing it for alternate reasons.
Yes, the criticism was, oh my God, he just wants everybody to, like, because he has a scene where he rips off his outer garment, you know, and he's a buff dude, you know, and so he's like, he just wants everybody to see his muscles, and, you know, he just wants people staring at his muscles. And I was like, if his muscles are the thing that I'm like, I'm not going to condemn the man because he's maybe a little arrogant and he goes to the gym, you know what I mean? That's really not the... that's not the hill I'm going to die on. So I'm more concerned about, are people growing closer to the Lord? And that's really what this is about.
Right. So my reason for bringing that up is that we have these two churches that we go to now. We go one on Saturday night, which is Friends Church Urbalina, which is the one I attended for 20 years when I was just walking around the halls acting like a Christian, and I really wasn't. And now we have Calvary Chapel Chino Hills with Pastor Jack Hibbs that we like. And
no, Pastor Jack's my pastor.
Yes, for sure.
Yes.
Yes. But one of the first questions I had, this is before you and I met, this is before your article, this is before that whole thing, is that for whatever reason, I had left Yorba Linda Friends Church, where I had begun to get to know the pastors, both Matthew, who was the lead pastor, and Chris Ward, and had talked with them and had lunch with them and even worked out at the gym with them. And they were really nice guys.
Absolutely.
Right. There was just something missing that, and I've talked about it before. It just wasn't, obviously, because I walked around and never really understood the faith like I do now with Pastor Jack. There was something missing, but they were still really cool people and would sit down there and talk. They weren't so full of themselves, or like another church I left, the guy definitely was full of, but I left because of that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure that when I found Jack's church, that I asked people that knew him and said, is he the real deal? Is this guy, is he the same guy? Or does he get off the stage and says, screw you, don't touch me, don't get away from me. And I got to tell you that today, after church, and not usually, but you know, Nettie is around, people come up and they know her story. You were on the 700 Club and they have this, all the kind of stuff. And so you have a little bit of a story that people recognize, but, and there I was standing kind of by myself. I thought you were in the restroom and you weren't. And Jack happened to come from outside where he was greeting people and praying for people. I could see him. And he does that on a regular basis where he leaves a message again, four services each, packed houses of 3,000 people or more. And so what is that? What's that times four? 12,000?
Yes.
So 12,000.
Not to mention the people outside.
Yeah, then there's more. So let's say 15,000 people. And he doesn't have to go out there and say hi to everybody and pray with them and shake hands and do what he does. So there I am inside the foyer. And he comes in and he sees me and he gets a big smile on his face.
Aww.
And he goes, hey, how are you doing? And he reaches out and he just gives me just like this. Gives me this biggest hug. Like he just hugs me so tight.
That's beautiful.
And he goes, how are you? Pastor Jack Hibbs. And says, how are you? And he goes, you know, how are you? What's going on with you? And that kind of stuff. And I didn't even know what to say. I just said, everything's fine. I said, I saw you at the border the other day. He goes, oh my gosh. And I go, I know. It's worse than people even know. He goes, people have no idea how bad it is at the border. Wow. And we begin to have this conversation. He goes, how's Hedia's dad? How's he doing? Like, he wants to know how your dad is doing. And so I say, he's not doing well. And he goes, and he just goes like this, puts his hand on me, and he just goes, and he starts to pray.
Aww.
And he prays for your dad's salvation and prays for the help. And the reason I bring that up is because the authenticity, you know, he's not pretentious. None of what he says up there is fake. He's not putting on a show. It's God speaking through him. And he realizes it, and there's no
such humility here.
Yes.
Over that.
So I hope that's okay to share all that. But I just want you to know that if you ever follow us and you decide to visit Jack, that this is my experience with him. He is an authentic. He would be one of the people sitting in the chairs.
Yes.
You know, he easily would fit in there as much as he is on stage.
Amen.
There's nothing that is pretentious about him whatsoever. And he's been in the Oval Office. He's been, you know, friends with Mike Pompeo. He's, you know, friends with leaders of other countries, I'm sure, and knows so many people. And yet he stands there and gives me a big hug and says, how are you?
Yes.
How's Hedy's dad doing? Wow. I thought that I'm going to get all teary-eyed. I'm trying not to. And I got to say that, you know, Chris Ward, the same thing. I hadn't been in that church in a year. And this is the first time I've seen Chris Ward. And he turned to me and he goes, oh, and he goes, how are you? And he gave me a big hug yesterday, too. And said, how are you? I'm so glad that you're here. And just, those are the things that I like. And when I hear you talk about the other church, not that it's bad. I'm glad you went to it. I'm glad you had the message you did. But I just love when all in this together, that it's not a higher.
That's the thing about, again, the whole self-help versus a pastor, is that when a church that you attend regularly, your pastor is your shepherd, as opposed to a preacher or a teacher who's giving you a message that you hope is anointed and that God sends you a direct message as a result. So to me, it's better to go to self-help gurus who talk about Christ than go to somebody like Tony Robbins or other new agey people that bring you nowhere near God. Right. But the thing is that when people mistake them for shepherds,
yep.
That's when you run into a problem because they don't have that. I don't know. I don't think they have the anointing of a pastoral relationship with their congregation.
Right. And Peggy earlier, I missed Peggy's message. Peggy Hartman says that, thank the Lord for his working.
Yes.
And that was back when we were talking about Jordan Peterson. Again, I think that it's going to be so powerful if he comes to the Lord.
Yeah, he's going to be a modern day C.S. Lewis.
Oh, he's, you know, I have a friend who's an atheist and he's a really nice guy. And he's had his struggles and we've shared, you know, stories together and that kind of stuff. And he's a friend of mine. And I think the first thing I thought of, I go, if Jordan Peterson comes to the Lord, he may bring somebody like Jay, my friend, to the Lord. And that would
so
be
so many people. Like
that'd be amazing.
Absolutely.
Because I know that he's spoken of him before.
And I think that's the reality of being in end times. I think that's the scripture we read about God raising his remnant army, that he just will go and pluck people out of the most unbelievable circumstances with the most miraculous stories to show people that he works these miracles. When the disciples of John the Baptist came to him and said, John says, are you the one we're waiting for? Shall we wait for another? He said, go back and tell him, have I raised the dead? Have I cured the sick? Have I healed the lame? Have I casted out demons? What are you asking me this question for? Have you not seen what I've done? And at the end of the day, that's how you know that you're attached to God.
Yep. When you were just saying that, I just thought about something too. And I'm sorry. I mean, I got two more things I want to talk about.
Please.
One of those is that there is an aspect of when you have somebody like, and I know we talk about Pastor Jack a lot, I know, but that he's now gone to these four services, and that you would think after a third service, he still had a fourth one to speak at after us, that he's still out there mingling with the people, that if God is using you, that it's not using you all of your energy.
No,
like if you were trying to come up with this, like your guy from the first one, you would think that, you know, he could only do two at max because he did so much of him.
Yeah.
And with Jack, it's less of him and more of God.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the Lord speaks, the mouth speaks, you know, because that's the living water that the Lord gives. Yeah. It's not coming from you. It's coming from that abundance that he gives and you share.
And then the last thing I want to talk about is that we went to this new time that we've never been in before together. Yes. I don't know if you've ever been to a third service or not, but that's my first time at a third service. And it just changed the whole dynamics of the people around us. I mean, we got to see Priscilla there. She went to second service, and it was so great listening to her and talking to her before she left, which was amazing. It's always great seeing Priscilla, but it was the people that came around us. You know, I had my friend Spencer next to me, a young kid, a great kid who moved over and happened to sit next to me. We had a great conversation and asked how I could pray for him. Not like last week where I failed to ask the person sitting next to me how I can pray for him.
Seen Andy, everybody, he was so sweet. He was just like, hi, how are you? What's your name? And he was so friendly and a comment. And because it's so important, I told him, I said, when you see single young people there by themselves, it's so important to encourage them. I'm not exactly young, but there were so many people that came up to me. One of my dear friends was, that's how I met one of my mentors, where she's like, you're alone. Why? How can I help you? I'm your friend. You know, consider me your friend from now on. It's so important to make people feel loved and welcome, even though we are a church of 3,000 people.
Yeah. Such a cool dude. This he asked that we pray for him to be a light at his job. He really wants to be that man.
And then I had a couple next to me. And so Gia, our worship leader, said, please get the name of the person standing next to you and write down what their prayer request is and pray for them all week. So I turned to the guy next to me and I said, hi. And I knew his name already. I said, hi, Tony, how can I pray for you? And he's like, huh? And I was like, how can I pray for you? And he's like, and he just stood there and he didn't answer me. And I was like, wait, did you not listen to Gia? I'm like, hey, because he looked at me as if confused. Like, why am I asking him what I want to pray for him? And I was going to let it go. And the Lord's like, ask. And I was like, and I had this struggle. And Jack referred to this struggle in the message too, where you just like, Jack's like, have you ever had where the Lord told you had to go pray for somebody? And you're like, please don't make me do that. Please. And you literally have an argument with the Holy Spirit saying, I don't want to do that. Please don't make me do that. And that's literally what me and Tony went through. And then finally, Tony looks at his wife and says, she's asking what she should pray for us. And his wife looks over at me and says, listen, we were almost divorced. And so please pray for our marriage. And I looked at her and I said, no, absolutely not. We will not allow the devil to tear you two apart. She kind of looked at me and I was like, yeah, so that's what I'm praying for all week, Dina. And she's just like, okay then, you know, and it was a God moment. The Lord would not let me give up. And when she finally told me, I looked at her, I said, no. Okay. And so it was great. It was a great God moment. It was just, I don't know, it was a really different experience in church today.
It was awesome. Really cool. So can you do one of your famous prayers and pray for Valerie, Peggy, and Priscilla?
And yes.
Spencer.
And Spencer and Tony and Dina. Yes, absolutely. Dear Lord, we come to your throne. We come to you as your sons and daughters and lay our crowns at your feet and sit at your feet and ask for your love and your grace to cover our lives and to anoint us to go forth in the earth as salt and light and to be children of the light, for we are no longer of darkness, Lord, and we just want to demonstrate that to the people around us so that they will come to know you.
Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord, and use us, Lord. We're here. We're available. We avail ourselves to you to be used in whatever way you deem possible and necessary. And so set our divine appointments today, tomorrow, and every day in which we walk on this earth, Lord, and allow us to be vessels of goodness and of truth and of your way and of the miracles of salvation, the beauty of being saved and redeemed. And we ask that you bless all of our friends, Valerie, Priscilla, our new friend Spencer, and that you allow Spencer in the darkness of Hollywood and movies and whatever else may come his way, that he may be a source of light and salt and earth on this earth. And that Dina and Tony's love and marriage is strengthened with the bonds of the covenant, the true covenant that they've taken in front of you. And may no man tear apart what God has brought together.
Can we pray for Peggy and also Jordan Peterson?
Yes.
Please, Lord.
And please draw Jordan close to you, Lord. You're moving in such miraculous ways. You're building your remnant army, and we're so grateful to be a part of that and to be witnesses to that. And so speak to Jordan Peterson's heart, Lord, and draw him close to you. Let him see the miraculous of the so-called narrative turning into the objective and becoming truth, becoming fact to him and to those around him, Lord, for he can move mightily on the earth to bring your sons and daughters back to you, Lord. So thank you for everyone that joins us, that's listening now and that'll listen to the future, Lord, and just give them the full armor of God that they may go without the attacks of the enemy constantly derailing them, but they will go in spirit and in truth and with power, Lord. We love you and we honor you in all that we do. And in Jesus' mighty, matchless name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Nice.
Thank you.
Oh, it's so good.
Thank you, friends.
We have to tell you about something first before we leave. It's very important. We are on the Edify Christian Podcast Network.
Yes. Edify.app.
Here's how you get it. Watch this.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcast today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's E-D-I-F-I.app. E-D-I-F-I.app.
That's why you don't allow me to touch the buttons, because apparently I ended the broadcast. Hopefully you guys didn't notice that.
Hey, maybe it still went on. Maybe they didn't even notice.
Wow.
Hey, did you guys even notice that we were offline for a second and we came back? Maybe the video continued to play while we were off.
I love that.
Yeah.
See that?
Jan French. Hey, nice to see you, Jan French. Thank you for joining. We appreciate you. We would have added you to the prayer, but we didn't see you. Nope, we were on.
Yay.
Yeah, accidentally the button got hit to end the broadcast.
But
we're still there. Thank you, Valerie, for joining. And Peggy, thank you for joining too. That's not Peggy, but I just was clicking buttons. Thank you, Priscilla, for joining. And where's Peggy? I got her up here. And Peggy, once again, thank you, Lord, for his work. Yes. You know, God is just, every message that I hear from our pastors, and every time we do this, I just feel his strength. And this is, I'm not just making this up. I'm just not throwing that out there. It is pretty spectacular.
Amen.
I know he created the universe. I know he created all the stars. I know he knew our names before we were even born. And he knows what we did in the past. He knows what we're doing now. He knows what we're going to do in the future. I know all that. But when we see stuff like we've seen today, and we hear your dad's voice after such a struggle with what he's going through, cancer like crazy and
embolisms
and blood clots that are going on, and one leg gigantic and one not. And then he gets on the phone and goes, "Hi, lovey, how are you? What are you doing?"
He told you to take good care of his daughter.
Yes, he said, take care of you. It's just, God is amazing. We love you guys. And just that he brings all you to us, I'm just so thankful and appreciative of everything we have. And I just love my new friend Spencer, and I hope that he does, and I know he will. He'll be the light in his business and future business.
Yes.
To the people that all come into him, just like you guys are. All right. We love you guys. And we thank you so much. And we see the messages coming in. But if I keep doing that, then we're never going to get off here. I'm going to keep on talking. And then Hedy is going to give me that look like, really? Really? I'm tired. I want to go to bed. All right. We love you guys. God bless. Good night. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Take care. Bye.